Put my reading glasses, which is good. Well, good morning. Happy last day of 2023. It's very exciting, or about the same as it has been. I hope everybody's had a good time so far, had a good Christmas, had time to reflect what's important in life, which is family, which is friends, which is church, which is community. And my message today, probably maybe not surprising, is titled, "It's Not How We Start, But How We Finish." It's a good reminder that just because this is the end of the year, we have not finished yet. We are still running the race. We are still persevering through everything in our lives. We're still pushing forward towards Jesus and keeping our eyes fixed on him. And I know it's the end of the year, and a lot of us are thinking of New Year's resolutions, new things we want to start, things we want to improve on. And any runners out here, I know Alex is a runner and does the park run every Saturday, will tell you that the first park run of the year is triple, if not quadruple, the size of any other park run, because everybody's trying to get healthy and fit, and they've got these New Year resolutions. But I just want to remind us that it's easy to start well. It's not always easy to finish well. And finishing well requires perseverance, pushing through when times are hard, when it's difficult, when you don't see the cross line, you don't see the end. And so I just want to remind us, it's important just to keep moving. And our Christian walk is about perseverance. If anything else, it's about perseverance. And I love the verse in Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that entangles us, the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us." Let's always remember that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. There is a grandstand in heaven cheering only your name. They are encouraging you. They are reminding you that you are awesome. You are created in God's image, that there is a plan for you. There is a purpose for you. So, if I jump into the story we're going to look at today, it's 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And it's a story of a king that became king when he was 7. And he started off really, really well. And I'm sure you can guess that he did not finish well. Let me turn there. I think Alex is going to pull it up on the screen. And forgive me if I butcher any of the words here, if I don't say them correct. And I might read bits and then stop, explain a bit, and then read more. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zilpah of Bathsheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Joadiah the priest. And Joadiah took 2 wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. What I like here is, and I'm going to pause, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. There's some history, there's a bit of backstory here. So before he became king at 7, he had been whisked out of the palace to be protected from his grandmother that had planned to kill him. She was going to kill him because she was upset that her son had died and she wanted to wipe out all the remembrance, which is very odd. And so he was taken as a child, very, very young, and taken to the temple. And he was raised there. He was surrounded by men of God. He was surrounded by the commandments of Moses. He was reminded daily of things that align us and our walk and our heart to the Lord. Then at 7... Joadiah decides it's time to crown him and raise him up. And you have to remember, he's been surrounded his entire life by godly men, teaching him, training him. So he might have been 7, but he had a very good beginning. And he had a mentor in Joadiah, He had someone that encouraged him. He had a spiritual mentor that he was able to go to with questions and get guidance. And I think it's good for us to remind ourselves, it's good to be surrounded by godly Christian people, mentors, a family that can support you, encourage you, and guide you. We all need it at different times in our lives. And I know there are times when I feel really strong in myself, which isn't great sometimes. And there are times when I have to rely on others around me. I have to rely more on the Lord. And that's a good place to be. It's not a bad place to be humble and need the support of the community around you. And I like that this stands as a reminder for all of us that we cannot live our Christian lives without the support of others. This is not something we do off on our own. Our Christian life, it is a community life. It is talking and working through things with others. Okay, so if we pick up at verse 4. Now it happened after this that Joash set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. Then he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, "Go out to the city of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you do it quickly." However, the Levites did not do it quickly. So the king called Joadiah, the chief priest, and said to him, "Why have you not required the Levites to bring from Judah and from Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the assembly of Israel, for the tabernacle of witnesses? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken into the house of God and had also presented all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord to Baals." So the good thing here is Joash has now set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. This is an indication. This is good. This is an indication that he had a godly concern for the house of the Lord, a godly concern that his people that he was king over had a place to come and worship the Lord. He wanted to restore that, make that present again in their lives. And building the temple meant he wanted to bring worship back into their hearts. Teresa and Doug do a great job every time when they lead worship. They remind us constantly to worship the Lord, to have that heart of adoring him, keeping that at the forefront. And Joash knew this. This is again, he's starting really well. He's doing good things. And the verse where it says that wicked woman broke into the house, this was his grandmother. This was the lady that had wanted to kill him. She broke into the house. She wanted to strip all that was godly out of the kingdom. And so this wasn't just that the temple had fallen into disrepair. People had gone in and really destroyed it. This was not just the building was old. This was a little bit more than that. So they repair the temple. And it says, there's a lot of scripture reading today. Sorry, guys. Or good. If we pick up at verse 8. Then at the king's command, they made a chest and set it outside of the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, had imposed on Israel in the wilderness. Then all the leaders and all the people rejoiced, brought their contributions and put them into the chest until all had given. So it was at that time when the chest was brought to the king's official by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and returned it to its place. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. The king and Joadiah gave it to those who did the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And they hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also those who worked in iron and bronze to restore the house of the Lord. So the workmen labored, and the work was completed by them. They restored the house of God to its original condition and reinforced it. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Joadiah. They made from it articles for the house of the Lord, articles for serving and offering, spoons and vessels of gold and silver. They offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Joadiah. I like that this is a reminder that God's people want to give. that it is good for us to create the opportunity for us to give, to bring to the Lord the things that he has blessed us with. And I like, too, that Joash here is reminding the people of the things Moses had taught in the wilderness, which was to give. He's reminding them of their history. Not only did God give, God protected them, God provided, he led them through the wilderness. And the beautiful thing is, I went back into Exodus just to see what Moses had suggested that they give. And it wasn't just gold and silver and bronze. They gave thread, they gave spices, they gave skins, oil and linen, gemstones. They gave such a variety of things. And I want us to remember today that giving to the Lord does not always mean what's in your pocket or in your bank account. It means giving your time. It means giving something that you've made, you've created. Don't be constricted into thinking it's only one thing that God wants you to give. There is so much more than that. And I think it's a beautiful reminder that we all have different gifts. And those gifts are to be shared. Those gifts are to be used to the glory of God. And also, there was an abundance here. The people were so happy to give. That chest was filled day after day after day. They were able to build and restore that temple, reinforce it more than it was before. God blessed this. God blessed the direction of Joash. He blessed the workmen. God was clearly in this. He was not absent in any way. So if we pick up the story, so we can still see Joash is doing right. He started off really, really well. He has his mentor, the high priest, with him, guiding him, encouraging him, telling him the ways of the Lord. Then if we go to verse 15. But Joadiah grew old and was full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both towards God and his house. I have a quote here from Spurgeon, and it says, "See the influence of one man. One man can sway a state. One man can check sin. One man can be the head of a host who shall serve God and honor his name." This really struck me, because we could be that one man that guides people around us, that sways a state, that changes something, that checks sin. We are the people with authority to say, no, that is not right. This is the way that you should go. And I think that's quite powerful to remember. It's not always that we do things alone. We do things together with someone beside us, and it's good to remember that. Now, Joadiah has passed away, and we start to see things changing in the kingdom. We start to see that Joash starts changing. Now, if we read verse 17 and 19. Now, after the death of Joadiah, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols. The wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. If I stop here, a lot of stop and starting, I know. He started listening to the wrong people. The king started taking counsel from people that did not have his best interest at heart, that did not have the kingdom's best interest at heart. And sadly, he wasn't strong enough or wise enough to see that. And he didn't listen. And I know we've all had these moments in our lives where we don't listen to good wisdom, we don't listen to good instruction, and we go off on our own path, and things just go awry. I am a culprit for that. And it's really sad that there was nobody else in his life at that point to guide him, to encourage him. And also, it makes me wonder if he had placed more of his faith in Joadiah than in the Lord. that if he hadn't really aligned his life to the Lord, he had aligned himself to a very godly man that encouraged him, but he didn't have it deep and rooted in his heart, in his soul, in his mind, the word of God. And again, it's another moment for us to pause and just ask ourselves, where are we today? Do we have the word of God rooted in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul, in our spirit? And it's good to stop and just reevaluate and check that, because things slide downhill very quickly. And we realize that instead of moving forward, we're taking steps back in our walk with the Lord. And also, this is a point where God sent prophets, many prophets, to Joash to remind him and bring him back. But he didn't listen. God never stops reaching out to us. He never stops extending his hand. He never stops listening. He never stops waiting for us. We know that if we knock on the door, he will open it. It doesn't take much just to say, Jesus, I need you today. God, I'm in a mess, and I just need to admit that I've screwed up. God is always faithful. We have to always remember that. He cannot change who he is. He is always faithful. So if I pick up again, verse 20 to 22. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Joadiah the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Joadiah his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, the Lord look on it and repay. This is upsetting. This is very, very upsetting to me. He had gone so far away from the Lord, he did not remember the kindness of his mentor. He did not remember the kindness of those that raised him, protected him as a child, crowned him as king. And then he stoned the son of the father that was his substitute father, essentially, that raised him as his own. And the sad thing is that they stoned Zechariah in the court where Joash was probably crowned king, where his father, the high priest Joadiah, had stood and placed the crown on him. And just a little backstory, as they were doing this, Joadiah sent and posted people all around the temple to protect it, to make sure that nobody came in and touched a hair on this child's head as he was being crowned. It's so sad to see that when we move away from the Lord, when we move away from good judgment, we move away from good counsel, things go drastically wrong, drastically wrong. And that's what sin does in our lives. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much for our personality to change. It doesn't take much for us to forget the goodness that people have shown us, the generosity, the protection, the covering. It's good to remain humble and remember we're not perfect. And again, we don't do this alone. And I won't read the rest. God brings in the Syrian army. They attack the kingdom. And Joash is killed. And it's very, very sad because he started out so well. He started out so, so well in the house of the Lord, being raised by a high priest as his substitute father. And I just want to remind us today, it's not how we start, it's how we finish. Starting is easy. Setting a new resolution is easy. Persevering is hard. Running is hard. And I've listed out some scriptures just to remind us that today we run with perseverance. Isaiah 40, verse 31, and I'm sure everybody knows this. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I've read this over and over this week, and the thing that struck me the most was there is constant motion in this verse. They soar, they run, they walk. Sometimes we fly through life. Sometimes it's easy. We feel God's presence with us all the time. We see his blessings, we see his hand, and it is easy to fly. We fly high. There are other times when we run, and we're running, and our breath is a little bit more panted, and we're sweating, but we're still moving. And then there are times when we have to walk, and we have to slow down a little bit. But there is nothing in this verse that says to stop. And this verse also says, hope in the Lord, and he will renew your strength. You will soar on wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. The good thing here, though, is there's motion. There's no stopping. And there's different paces in our life. And we all know this. We go through different seasons. There are times when I'm running and I feel nothing. There's no problems. It's easy to trust the Lord. There are times when it's much harder and I'm walking at a slower pace. Just remember, keep moving. Keep moving. The goal is movement, and it's also good for your heart. If you wear a smartwatch, you want to track those steps. It's good for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 27 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Again, another scripture telling us to run. There is a race set before us, and this isn't a race where we're competing against each other. This is the race to get to the end, to get to heaven, to get to Jesus. Not saying that he's not with us right now, but we're running a race, the Christian race. And I also like that it says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. We all kind of need to understand that being a Christian means we need to dedicate parts of our life to the Lord. Sometimes that's not easy when you need to get up early and dedicate time to read the scripture, to pray, to set that aside. Runners go in training for months. We have a family here that has an athlete in the family, and they know the training he goes through, the weights he's lifting, the time he spends at the track, all of the conditioning he puts in his body so when he gets to the Olympics, he will win and get that gold medal. He spends so much time conditioning his body and getting ready for that race. As Christians today, we need to think like that. We need to spend time conditioning our bodies, our minds, our hearts, so that we run the race with perseverance, that we don't just start well, we finish well. And I think, too, the other side of it is, and Philipsia and Wayne will testify to this, there are coaches. If you're running a race and you're an athlete, you have a team of people. You have coaches that encourage you. There will be days you don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to go to the gym or to the track. You don't want to come to church or a prayer meeting. We need to remember, we need to, again, surround ourselves with people that spur us on, that encourage us when we feel weak, when we feel tired, because that's natural. That's not going to change. And then my last verse before I close is Philippians 3, verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, I just want to remind us today, forget the things that are behind you. Forget the things that you have messed up, that haven't gone so well. That sometimes we rake ourselves over the coals, over the things we didn't do well. Forget those things. God has forgotten those things. He sent his son to die on the cross so that we could move forward. Let's not forget that there is a prize in front of us. There is a race ahead of us. Perseverance is key. People are key. It is not how we end this year. It's not how we started this year. It is how we finish. And I can say that one of the best things in my life, in Alex's life, is this church, this community. We are excited to be in this community. We are excited to be in this town. We're excited that we'll be celebrating 150 years of this church being in Merstham. This church has persevered. It has run the race, and it is still running the race. And we're all here to testify to that. I think it's encouraging that God reminds us to not remember our past sins and failings. He encourages us to move forward. He encourages us to soar, to run, and to walk. He encourages us to keep moving. And I want to encourage all of you today just to keep moving. There is no shame in walking. No shame in walking. Lord, we thank you so much for the blessings that you have given us this year in 2023. We thank you, Lord, for this community. We thank you, Lord, for this church and everybody in it. We thank you, Lord, that we are here to encourage each other, Lord, that we are here to remind each other that it is not how we start, it is how we finish, that we are in a race, Lord, that our goal is to share your love, your light, your peace, your mercy, your grace to all those we come in contact with, Lord. We thank you that you have blessed us more abundantly than we really even know, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is upon us. And we ask, Lord, that everybody in this congregation goes into the new year, Lord, with a perspective to set their hearts on you, with a perspective to persevere through every situation, every season. And we thank you, Lord, that you never stop reaching out. You never stop calling our names. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.